Leader!
Order, order.
Are there any select committee reports?
Among the 14 select committee meetings held this week, the Justice and Electoral Committee continued hearing submissions on the Criminal Procedure Reform and Modernisation Bill, which raises the threshold by which a defendant can choose trial by jury. Human Rights Commissioner Jeremy Pope was concerned about an increased reliance on judges.
When it comes to fact-finding, and you've got 12 people involved in fact-finding, the combined experience of the 12 people is brought to bear. When you've got a single judge sitting, you are limited to the life experience of the single judge, which in today's world is someone who yesterday was earning $800,000, $900,000 a year.
Mr. Pope said an individual judge's perception of crime could change over time, and that risked inconsistencies in judicial decisions.
There was a judge who confided in me that he had never had any problem sitting as a district court judge in convicting people of shoplifting. He did not believe that anyone could walk out of a shop with something they hadn't paid for without knowing what they were doing. And then one day he had found himself out in the street with a packet of cigarettes that he'd intended to buy and he hadn't paid for. And he said it was complete revelation to him, and he adopted a completely different approach in shoplifting cases ever thereafter, and was very, very careful with it. But I think that's a clear illustration of how there is a huge void.
Human Rights Commissioner Jeremy Pope on Thursday. Elsewhere, the Commerce Committee held a financial review of Television New Zealand and heard from its chief executive, Rick Ellis, who outlined the company's new direction.
Government has made it clear that our primary mandate is to be a commercial broadcaster, a commercially successful company. So our primary focus is to be a commercial broadcaster, commercially successful, but we do expect, of course, that the Crown will look to effectively procure public broadcast activities from us from time to time, as they used to do under the SOE framework that we used to be in.
Mr. Ellis explained the benefits of free-to-air channel TVNZ7.
The reach of TVNZ7, driven by those very niche programs such as Media 7, Backbenchers, is still minuscule in the overall scheme of things. So what the channels have done is they've offered up a niche offering to, if you like, niche audiences that are not addressed in the mainstream TV environment. And it's been appreciated by viewers.
Mr. Ellis said the niche channels had also boosted Freeview sales.
There's no doubt that Freeview has been phenomenally successful. The uptake of digital set-top boxes in non-Sky homes is well ahead of target. So the channels, I believe, have served the purpose well in motivating households to embrace this digital future.
Having served its purpose by boosting Freeview sales, TVNZ7 is due to be scrapped next year, but Mr. Ellis said some of its programs could survive.
Those programs will fall into the same category as any other program idea that comes to any of the networks. So basically the writers producers today of those programs will approach a network to see where there's an interest in sponsoring or working with them around a proposal to New Zealand On Air to access contestable funding for that. At the end of the day, it'll come down to the networks. So the programmers effectively of TV1 and 2 and TV3 and 4 and others will decide whether they have an interest in taking that program idea to the contestable process at New Zealand On Air.
Mr. Ellis also acknowledged a financial loss caused by TVNZ's investment in and promotion of the TiVo Personal Video Recording Device, or PVR, which it had hoped would be popular with New Zealand consumers.
The Australian market just suffered an avalanche of new PVRs sourced out of China and Taiwan coming into the retail market that had the impact of dramatically affecting consumer retail pricing. So let's say TiVo was selling at $7.99, there were now comparable devices in the marketplace at, say, $4.99. So the net effect of that was substantial losses for the company. So We've taken an impairment as an accounting adjustment effectively on the value of that investment, which is not to say the investment still isn't there, but the value of it now on our balance sheet has been written down to zero.
Television New Zealand Chief Executive Rick Ellis during the Commerce Committee's financial review of TVNZ on Thursday. Next week, the business of that committee will again have a media-orientated focus with financial reviews of the Broadcasting Commission and Broadcasting Standards Authority. I'm Rhys Lyon, and this program is brought to you with funding from the Office of the Clerk.